Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Tuesday. This is Seattle Now. La Nina is heading to Western Washington thanks to cool water in the tropical Pacific. I'll talk to Assistant State Climatologist Karen Bumbacco about what it means for the winter in a minute. But first, let's get you caught up. A whopping 99% of city employees are either fully vaccinated or had a good excuse by yesterday's deadline. Mayor Durkin's office updated the numbers yesterday. Rates are lower at SPD, but the whole mass exodus over vaccination status story seems to have been a paperwork thing after all. 91% of the department has complied, 93% at Seattle Fire. Employees who missed the deadline can't report to work as usual, but won't be fired right away. They'll get to make their case at a pre-disciplinary hearing first, and then get one last chance offer to get a vaccine. Meanwhile, one highly paid state employee is among those losing their job over the mandate. Washington State fired its football coach Nick Rolovich yesterday, along with some of his assistants, for not getting vaccinated. Rolovich was 1 year into a five-year contract that paid him nearly $3 million a year. No response yet from Rolovich. Reports are that defensive coordinator Jake Dickert will step in as head coach. And we're not calling it a vaccine passport, but starting next week, you'll need to keep your proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test handy to get into more places. Businesses like gyms, restaurants, and nightclubs in King County will be asking for vaccine verification or a negative test result for entry. If you're vaxxed, you can carry a picture of your card, use a certificate, or get a QR code as proof. Do you feel it? The chill in the air? Last Tuesday was one of the coldest early October days on record, and plan on more cold and rain this week. Meteorologists are predicting this will be part of a La Nina weather pattern we're likely to have this winter. Karen Bumbacco is the assistant state climatologist. She's here to explain what La Nina is, the difference between El Nino and La Nina, and what a La Nina winter means for weather in the coming months here in Western Washington. Hey, Karen.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Really good to have you here. We had a cold October, and the second half of this week is supposed to be rainy. How typical is this weather we're having right now?
We are definitely starting fall earlier this year than in some other past years. And frankly, I'm glad. We are just coming out of that record heat we had this summer, dry conditions around the state. And this feels good to be in fall.
Yeah, I physically felt a sense of relief when it started raining, not only because I know I'm happily living in Seattle, but because all of the plants needed water at that point, for sure.
Absolutely.
I am hearing meteorologists speculating that this year will be a La Nina year. Tell me what a La Nina is and what it potentially means for our weather pattern.
Yeah, that's a great question. So in simplest terms, it's a slight difference in ocean and atmosphere conditions at the equatorial tropical Pacific Ocean that affects weather around the globe. So it sort of behaves like a seesaw in that it oscillates from year to year. It's not a perfect pendulum, but it switches between neutral or near normal conditions, El Nino conditions, or La Nina conditions. The NOAA Climate Prediction Center just issued a La Nina advisory on Thursday, October 14th. Because La Nina conditions have emerged in the equatorial tropical Pacific.
Okay, break that down for me personally, who heard a lot of good stuff in there, but I don't know what it means. Does this mean it's going to be colder, wetter, warmer, colder?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So La Nina does relate to our weather here in Washington State. And we're actually lucky in the sense that compared to the rest of the United States, we have a pretty strong signal with La Nina. It means it's pretty statistically significant during La Nina years. And during La Nina years, we typically see cooler and wetter than normal conditions on average. And the best news is above normal snowpack by April 1st.
All right.
There's caveats, of course. So when we talk about this, we're talking about a seasonal average. So that means from November through the end of March, our winter season as a whole will be cooler and wetter. But you can still see variations within that. And that's just kind of our normal weather. We can still see dry spells, maybe some warmer than normal temperatures within that time frame. But we do expect to see cooler and wetter on average.
Okay, so overall, it's going to be cooler and wetter. How does this different than an El Nino? Because yeah. I have lived here long enough to have heard both of these weather patterns in the time that I have been here.
Yeah, so El Nino is just the opposite. El Nino tends to be warmer than normal, a bit drier conditions with reduced snowpack by April 1st for Washington State. The other sort of nuance here is that it's opposite for California. So La Nina for them usually means drier, warmer, less snow, while it's better news for us in terms of our snowpack, and then vice versa. So sometimes people moving here from California can get confused when they hear La Nina and think maybe we're headed for more drought conditions.
Okay, so it's regionally specific in that respect.
Yes.
Fascinating, fascinating. Anything in between these two weather patterns? Is it always one or the other?
No, you can have neutral, which just means pretty normal conditions in the tropical Pacific Ocean. And the way I look at either these, El Nino or either of these, either El Nino or La Nina, is it just kind of tilts the odds towards one condition or another. And not every La Nina is cooler and wetter in Washington. So it gives us a higher chance that those conditions will show up this winter, but it's not a sure bet.
And I wonder, are either of one of these things concerning specifically in this climate, or is this just a normal weather pattern? How does this fit into climate change?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this oscillation has been observed for a really long time. It was named back in 1984, first discovered in the late 1800s by fishermen off the coast of Peru. They noticed warm water associated with El Nino, and actually that's how it got its name, because it was peaks around Christmas time, so they named it El Nino, or the boy, after Christ and Christmas. But El Nino and La Nina is expected to continue even in a changing climate. It's kind of just one of those oscillations and patterns that we will expect to see still in the future. And the science is still out on exactly how climate change will affect this oscillation.
Okay. All right. Sum it up for us, Assistant State Climatologist. What are we going to be looking at through the fall and winter season most likely in terms of weather?
So because we have a La Nina in the tropical Pacific, we are thinking that there's a higher chance of cooler and wetter than normal conditions for Washington State, with a higher chance of above normal snowpack by April 1st.
Okay. And what does this mean for the spring?
Yeah, the spring is a tough one. So we don't have as clear of a relationship between La Nina and what happens in our spring weather, which, as we learned last year, spring can be really important in terms of developing drought for the state. Last winter was very, very dry spring that caused more drought concerns than we initially were expecting, because our snowpack was pretty good by April 1st. I don't think this tells us that much about our spring yet.
All right. Too soon to tell. Is it likely, though, by the end of the winter, we will make up some of that drought?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think we have a much better chance of making up for the drought in western Washington. Things are already improving due to our recent rain. Because the precipitation deficits were so large east of the crest, particularly in the lower Columbia Basin, I'm not sure that this is really going to get us out of the drought that we saw last year, particularly because some of the precipitation deficits have really existed on this timescale of 2 years now, or coming, you know, two back-to-back dry years. But I do think it's still good news.
You know, Karen, I wonder, since we were talking about whether or not this rain is going to help us in the spring, whether or not there's anything citizens, regular people, can do to get involved in this right now.
Yeah, if you love the weather, there's a program called the Community Collaborative Rain, Hail, and Snow Network, or COCORAS for short, where you can measure precipitation in your own backyard with a plastic 4-inch diameter rain gauge and enter your observations daily. We are always looking for new volunteers, and this winter might be a good chance to measure precipitation. One neat feature is that you can directly notify the National Weather Service office if you're experiencing particularly heavy rain that might be significant and that they should know about. But climatologists like me just love to look at it and use that to compare different years to see how each month turns out precipitation-wise, how it compares to normal. So it's really a great resource because you get a fine scale resolution for precipitation measurements.
Karen Bumbacco is the assistant state climatologist. Thank you so much for your insight and your expertise. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. Caroline Chamberlain Gomez produced today's show. Our production team is Claire McGrain, Jenny Cecil Moore, Diana Opong, and Jason Pagano. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. I'm Patricia Murphy.